Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. All right. Welcome back, everyone. We're here again with another episode of Banking Reinvented, and we have Jouk again at the table.
Good to be here, Tim.
Good to see you again, Jouk.
Nice studio, by the way, right? I really start to appreciate the vibe here.
Very good. Very good. Thanks. Last week, you kicked off with the highlight of Revolut.
Yeah.
Effectively, one of the neobanks that's really scaling with very healthy numbers, great unit economics, and also pushing into new domains like family banking and really interesting value propositions. The highlight of this week is a bit closer to home.
Or it depends on where you live on the planet, right? But we do see very exciting developments in emerging markets. We've seen Techcombank in Vietnam doing amazing innovation in their local market. And now I would like to highlight Middle East, especially Saudi Arabia, where we see a complete spring of innovation and new dynamics and a lot of optimism. So super proud of the work of Saudi National Bank with the introduction of NEO. I think people will start to see the details, but it's probably one of the most advanced, let's say, new digital platforms. I really think it can compete and be better than a Revolut. So it's interesting. It's really interesting to see traditional banks really fighting back with the right leadership, the right drive, and the right ambition.
Cool.
Yeah. I will stay a little bit on the surface here, but more to follow.
More to follow for sure. Now, for the episode of this week, we're going to speak about the growth platform, or at least the vision of how you can really drive growth in your institution yep. with a platform like Backbase. Where all of this started is maybe to kick off the episode as well. Why would you consider to go into a platform? What's really the driver behind the decision point in the boardroom? What does the CXO really care about when making the yep. trade-offs? So maybe we can start there. What do we believe is really happening in the boardroom to kick off that discussion?
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the most powerful questions you can ask, right? Why? And like ultimately, why? Ask it five times and you get to the core, right? Ultimately, banks are there to maximize their share of wallet. Basically, not all customers are equal. I think that's really in a board and an area where you said, what customer segments do we focus on? Where do we have a key strength? So I think it's about focus and choice in the boardroom. Can we service everybody on average, or are we going to make decisive choices about key segments where we will orchestrate all our assets to create a very compelling value proposition. So we actually are in pole position to compete. So I think first, selecting your markets and bring focus. I really think for every growth-oriented CEO, that is probably the most important thing to do. Pick your battles and then mobilize your assets in a more meaningful way to be dangerous. Once you have that clarity, then it's all about, okay, cool, how do we create an operating model that is either completely cost-oriented or differentiation and value or service-oriented, right? So you probably will make a choice there in what is your ultimate value proposition. And then you would like to mobilize your whole operation. How do we acquire customers? How do we activate them in the value proposition? How do we expand and increase our share of wallet? Yeah, basically, how do we drive a growth agenda within the markets we compete? It's basically the normal growth economics and the normal growth KPIs that are very important. On the other hand, of course, you also have, let's say, how do you increase revenue for fixed CapEx or OPEX, like fixed cost, but more revenue, basically resulting in more profit, which is the efficiency perspective. So I think those two. And what's really nice in the boardroom conversations is that, okay, if that's the bigger play and we know where we want to compete, all right, then how do we mobilize the IT strategy to be facilitating with those objectives?
So just taking one step back, the brainstorm that led to this episode basically kicked off with the question, why? And then we basically agreed in that conversation that typically you want to grow top line revenue, just like any other business, and you want to optimize your bottom line. What are the different, let's say, levers that you can pull to actually make progress? I think we also quickly concluded that doesn't directly lead to replacing your digital channels or going for a technology platform to start making a modernization happen. It really starts with that belief that you can grow your bank by 10% or 20% or perhaps optimize your EBITDA. And in that conversation, we came to the realization, hey, maybe we are more of a growth platform that can really help the boardroom to grow their business. And I guess that really connects also to the introduction that you shared. What are the trade-offs to really, build an operating model with the right KPIs and metrics to then drive progress in the bank.
if you look at the bank, and we're really simplified, right? So you've got, you're basically, how do you define your products? Let's say the product management side, the pricing, and the ledger. So super important. And then in the last 50 years, on top of that, we basically built channels, which we call distribution channels, to basically get these products to market, right? So there's the branch, there's the call center, there's the internet, there's now mobile, et cetera. And I think in essence, if you think about the channel layer, it is all designed to do two things and to do them really well. And that is service customers with the right NPS and the lowest cost, and to sell and maximize your share of wallet. And I think in the past, we've been talking about the engagement layer or the channel layer, et cetera. But if you park all of those acronyms, you basically really look at what are we actually doing? We're orchestrating sales journeys and we're orchestrating service journeys. And that's what you would like to do well. And I think the biggest problem today is that all those journeys or all those capabilities are happening in channel isolation. And that is highly inefficient, right? Because you have all that duplication logic. So ultimately what you can state that whatever you want to do in the boardroom, you have to do it with the given infrastructure of the bank, which is extremely fragmented. And it basically means that you lack agility to optimize servicing or optimize sales because you have this massive monster that is completely siloed and fragmented with monoliths. So it lacks agility to make any change.
So effectively, they have a growth problem. They don't have the right ingredients to unlock the growth that they could potentially have.
The operating model, the IT systems are completely unfit to be agile and to build a growth engine. It is still very interesting to see how much profit banks are making with kind of that handicap. And that maybe also correlates with the fact that you've got a banking license, et cetera. But fundamentally, I think the operating model, the underlying IT systems are extremely bloated and fragmented. So therefore, I think also now, if you look at the Revoluts we were discussing earlier, I think there's a group of people that had this head start by basically starting from scratch, creating a more simplified, leaner operating model. They potentially are in a much better place, potentially, right? Let's see how this is going to play out. But they don't have all that burden, that legacy burden. And therefore, I think now banks need to really figure out, like, instead of, let's say, making optimizations, marginal optimizations, where you tune a few things or you try to integrate a few things or you do a little bit like more slice and dice a few little things. The question is, would you consider to a more bolder move where you fundamentally say, I need to take drastic action to simplify the way I service and the way I sell. And I need to really bring that into a unified, single, simplified platform. Why? Not because of technology reasons, because of agility reasons, economical reasons, efficiency reasons, and having a single platform to really optimize growth.
Now, if I connect that to how the bank really operates, then of course they have all of this in place today. They do sales, they do servicing, yeah. They just do it in disparate ways, if I may, across digital as well as in the physical world. We didn't speak just yet about the employee impact that it also has, right? So on the customer side, there's of course an ambition to do it nicely, seamless, with a superior experience. Why? To really drive share of wallet, to increase product adoption, to also increase loyalty towards the brand, the product set, and so forth. On the employee side, I believe there's also a massive, let's say, opportunity to hit that bottom line optimization, cost to serve effectively.
Yeah, I think like ultimately what you basically see on the employee side is that the cost to service with employees is relatively high. So if you ultimately look at from the boardroom level, it's a necessary cost to have, right? Sorry to say it like that, but like that I think that's a common view. So it is very different for consumer banking, where you basically see that we try to eliminate pretty much any human contact. And we basically went all the way into digitizing everything. And the human assist is basically something you like to avoid and maybe also lost. And therefore also we are losing a differentiating value there to a degree. That's also where credit unions still invest in the branch and in the human assist. But I think that's a little bit the dynamics on the consumer side. And if you go to the other side, with commercial banking, if you go to private banking, to wealth management, that's still where you have the relationship management model. And it is still very people-centric and the digitization is actually trailing a little bit. So I think across the board, you see very different mix, digital versus human assist. And I think banks ultimately would like to have a model where they can mix and match it, depending on the journey, contextual, but depending on the profit or profitability profile of the customer. Yeah, so that's how you want to bring it together.
Yeah. This is something that we also discussed with Caron on one of the other episodes. And we spoke about this as right channeling. So effectively optimizing the channel mix for your segments, effectively. You can have retail customers, you can have an ultra high net worth individual, you might have a customer that also runs a business and maybe has a trust fund. They all have very different needs and expectations. And you want to optimize the way you serve them so that it's economically beneficial to you as an institution. If I think about growth platform, it seems like we can do so much more in that realm.
It really starts with your paradigm. If your paradigm is, I have existing channels and I need to continue to work with these channels and with these isolated technology stacks and somehow I need to duct tape them together, I think you are already in a model that is limiting by itself, because you basically continue to accept the channel status quo and you basically continue to compete with a very suboptimal model. So in an ideal world, you actually really would like to think, can I do a paradigm shift? And I think the notion, the possibility that is starting there, we call it an anchor platform. So not per se a growth platform, but like an anchor platform. And what is an anchor platform? Basically, it's very simple. You say, I've got this platform that will bring it all together for online and mobile, right? Because that's where I need to service my customers anyhow. So all the integration, all the data, all the compliancy, all the journeys, it's driving these mobile and online journeys. Great. What if we could use that same platform headless and it can already now start to provide data to the call center, to the branch, potentially to the CRM, right? But the online and mobile banking platform is becoming the anchor platform to start to power the right data, the right capabilities to the traditional channel. So you basically start to hollow them out on the logic and on the data layer, but you keep the UI and some of the other legacy capabilities in place. I think ultimately that anchor platform needs to evolve into something where all the touch points are basically driven by a single platform. And we go back to the same, let's say, Uber metaphor we've been using in the past, where a single platform is orchestrating both the end customer and the taxi driver and the customer support department of Uber. They're all operating on a native platform with specific user interfaces for these different stakeholders. So ultimately, I think these anchor platforms initially need to integrate the channels. Ultimately, they will go beyond channels and all bring it together in a single platform.
Now, once you get there, my belief would be that you start unlocking what we would call growth hacking in, let's say, typical businesses like Netflix, Uber, and so forth, which, by the way, Revolut will certainly be doing already because they have the data and they have the analysts and so forth. To me, that really connects to the whole, okay, how do you grow the business from the boardroom down to the execution that happens on a technology platform, which right now it's pretty challenging, clearly, as we discuss. But what does the future look like once you get there?
Yeah, the cool thing is once you are in this anchor platform metaphor, right? Now you basically are removing a lot of these obstacles where normally these things, you cannot execute them across all these different code bases. You got more centralization with an anchor platform and therefore you get more reuse. I really think that's super important. And that kind of will give you way more agility. And it also will give you a way to get your customers and your employees on the same page, on the same data. Huge. All right, cool. Once you have that in place, now it's very powerful because all these interactions are happening on the same platform, right? And in the same platform, you observe all the data, you observe all the behavior. So I think an intelligent layer where you combine AI, where you combine analytics, where you can combine all the data, you now can basically create algorithms that will do growth hacking, to your point. Let's make that very concrete, right? You have a specific segment, let's say young families. And particular to that families where there's all sorts of needs, you can now make algorithms when they are in the app on how you encourage them to do app utilization. Think of your first 180 days in that app and how it's going to educate you to really understand everything beyond just making a payment and the stuff that people normally wouldn't figure out they could do with the app. So that's, I think, the activation aspect. Then the other aspects, I think, are how do you expand your share of wallet? How do you advise them? How do you nudge them? How do you help them? And also how you do true cross and upsell. So I think with a central orchestration platform, you can drive that to the customer directly, online and mobile, especially mobile. But the same data, the same capabilities are also available to your employees. So again, everybody is acting on the same platform and everybody is working with the same data.
Yeah. Yeah. What I really like about this viewpoint, if I may, is that it's not just about making an application more digital than it has been before, or just better in terms of experience. That is almost a given. Like that has to happen. You have to, at one point in time, move to a platform so it's seamless for the end user, both the customer as well as the employee. But the actual reasoning for doing it for the business, for the C-suite, would be we can unlock the possibility to grow the business. And we can do this potentially real time.
But look at, of course, but it's easy to do the strategy assessment, like how the world could look like and for the board. I think everybody has been in these meetings like, yeah, but how do we integrate with this? And yes, we need to have feature parity. And if you've got all the yes buts forever with 50 people in the room that can just throw in all those type of arguments why things will not work or why it's difficult, etc. And I think there, and many of these points are valid, by the way, they're very valid, but that's really where you need to make the change and say, okay, do I continue to work in a context that is suboptimal, or do I start to simplify that context? And what I mean with simplifying it, become very clear about what are your objectives. I want to grow, for instance, and how do I do that in a safe way? But also, how do I eliminate a lot of the legacy objectives by just simply saying no and say, we're going to go to a new paradigm. We're going to take the bull by the horns and we are going to move to ultimately a simpler operating model with less systems and a more centralized platform. Because if you keep these existing conditions alive, you get a very muddy, compromised outcome.
So simplification to actually unlock growth at the end of the day.
Like everybody wants to grow, of course. Everybody would like to reduce efficiency. But is it like on the side, is it marginal or is it structural, foundational, deep action? Regardless if you are a big fan of the man, but for instance, that like an Elon Musk can run Twitter with only 15% of the staff. I'm not going to go into his style, his objectives. Let's say that's not the point I'm trying to make. But the point I'm trying to make is that you can run these platforms. If you simplify it at a technology level and an execution level, apparently you can run this with 20% of your headcount. Believe me, a lot of boardrooms think about, regardless of the rest, that efficiency gain is huge. And I think there's a lesson in it. And that lesson is, okay, how do we dare? Do we dare to go there? I don't talk about like massively firing people, but the notion of, do we dare to simplify?
There's an opportunity to become more efficient. But for that, again, you need to have certain ingredients in place so you can make the call. I think right now you're not even in a position to make that call.
But this is all about status quo. Is it keep the status quo or are we going to change? So this is about change making and then encouraging the controversial discussions, as in, okay, what are the things that basically are the holy cows here? What are the systems that we would never touch or never could do without with? And how do we dare to go for more of a greenfield type of thinking style, where we say, if we were all fired here today and we would enter the building again, we're rehired, what would we do? Or if we would be all fired and the Revolut guys would come in, what would they do? And I think it's just a very simple exercise just to force yourself and a leadership team just to think beyond the boundaries that are in place and at least raise the bar in what can we do to simplify and what can we do to eliminate root causes. After that, the execution will be progressive, step by step, but you've got a much clearer North Star in how you want to simplify the operation and how you want to make it future-proof.
Bringing this back how we opened the episode, we basically said, hey, what's now the conversation at the boardroom that drives certain behavior, certain decisions to potentially go for the platform, yes or no? The deeper why is you would like to grow the business, top line, bottom line. The conversation we've now had, very interestingly so, is more of a mindset conversation. Are you willing to challenge the status quo to go for a new paradigm where you can indeed unlock way newer ways of running the business, which... yeah, we can fantasize about for very long, but if you don't have the ingredients in place, it's just a fantasy.
And that's also what you get all these banking conferences, like all these people on stage. Of course, the bank is great. It's wonderful. It has awards. It's whatever. Like it does all these things. But fundamentally, what's really changing? Very little. So yes, it is it's a fundamental paradigm shift. If you choose to take it, right?
It's an option.
It's an option. It's just optionality in this world. Then let's say you are in the new paradigm and you want to go there. So I think there's also a very simple recipe. A, you would really go on a journey to simplify your IT landscape with the single goal, not of only efficiency, but actually arrive at a point where you have a lean platform that is at the crossroads of all the customer journeys, all the data. And with that leaner operating model, you are for the first time really in a position, 10 times more efficient, to streamline sales and servicing journeys. Think about it. Like for the last 50 years, we basically have only made sales and servicing more complex because we have added more channels. We're just adding more complexity into the mix. So it's almost like, how do we unwind that, or how do we reset that, and how do we go back? And therefore, I think, like, ultimately, we can just go back to a single channel strategy. And a single channel strategy equals platform. It's actually beyond channels. It's just one platform that is orchestrating multiple stakeholders, like an Uber. So it's almost like undoing and unlearning a lot of historical behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we move to the key takeaway, this conversation, I hear a strong call for simplification. Simplify your IT landscape. Simplify the platform that you have in place. So really go for a lean architecture that brings everything together, so that you have the potential to be 10 times more efficient in sales journeys that you have across the board, in the servicing journeys that you have across the board for both your employee and your customer. Bringing them all together so it's not just orchestrated, which is, of course, nice. It will make a better experience. But mostly, it will allow you to unlock growth for the bank. Grow the top line, the revenue, but also optimize the efficiency of the bottom line. Where I believe you spoke about quite a few ingredients on how to do it, but the majority is about, are you willing to challenge the status quo? Are you willing to make the mindset shift and indeed move into that paradigm?
I think the North Star is always super important. Like, at least you create a picture together with a leadership team, and you can rally the troops towards a North Star, and also you can define guiding principles. So I think simplification, doing less with more, I think are very powerful guiding principles. I also think, like, where can we embrace and we don't have to reinvent the wheel, so we can go faster, separation of concern, like, how do we create the right alliances? And I don't think there's one platform or there's no silver bullet, but, like, how do we go from 500 systems back to 20? That would be major. That would be a major improvement. How do we maybe also decommission certain capabilities because they are just not relevant? We just dare to say no. So I think, and this is all tailoring per bank, per client segment, per institution, but ultimately, I think, why would you consider this? What would give you the conviction to do this, right? If you look around yourself, I think the world is now operated by platforms. Look at the Googles, Amazons, etc. Look at their economics. You see the power of platforms. And it's not platforms as in just technology platforms, but just platform as a thing where you basically centralize data functionality and you are acting potentially as a marketplace. You are empowering multiple stakeholders, but there's platform synergies. And on top of that platform, you can grow. You see all these platforms have very simple but yet nicely advanced algorithms to drive growth, whatever, in whatever direction they want to do it. And they know that if you do it on the platform, you automatically will touch every interaction and every touch point with all the different actors. So I think the role model is there. The validation of that business model is there. And then if you compare that with a classic banking operating model, you see quite a gap. And then the question is, are you comfortable with it?
That's the stop of this episode. I think it's a very nice question to end up with. Can you become a platform business?
Ultimately, or at least incorporate more platform elements of a platform business in the business model.
All right. Thanks, Jacques, for joining.
Thank you. See you soon.
Cheers.
Bye.
Ciao. Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.